and angels wanna know. They bow in reverence at your feet. Every creature, great and small, saints and angels running along. They bow in reverence at your feet.
Go ahead, give him praise. Hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy of glory and honor and praise. We're going to do one more this morning, just one more. And let's just worship him. This is one of our favorites here, because this is what we're all about right here.
Like I know a friend, I wanna know you, Lord. I wanna know you, Lord. Like I know a friend, I wanna know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion. think that I could box you in, but I'm laying down. I wanna know you, Lord. I used to think that I could box you in, but I'm
for where it brought you from. You know, I was just thinking about something this morning. I was thinking about how Fire and Grace Church, we are ex-drug addicts. I'm not joking. There's a lot of ex-drug addicts, ex-homosexuals, ex-adulterers, ex-drunkards, ex-fornicators, ex-drug dealers. Yeah, in this little church. But guess what made us X? Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I was just thinking about that. The testimonies, I could just have one after the other come up here. I used to be addicted to this drug. I used to be addicted to that drug. I used to sell drugs. Used to make drugs. And you know what? We couldn't have saved ourselves. It had to be the only true God. It had to be the shed blood of Jesus. It had to be the power of his resurrection and the power of the cross. That's the only reason any of us are X anything. All right? Go ahead. Give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I rejoice many times over that my sins are forgiven. I rejoice that my sins are forgiven. And I rejoice that even if I mess up now, I can confess my sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen. Jesus is good. He is merciful. He is patient. But he's also going to be judged one day. We cover that too. Well, you may be seated this morning. We want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church, those here today, those watching and listening. Wow. God is good. Now, I'm going to go ahead and do this real quick, these announcements, because we may not be on YouTube here in a minute. So, everybody remember the deliverance seminar is going to be August 7th, and we will be meeting at the Grand National Marriott Hotel, where we've had some of our Skyfall conferences and where we have the Fire and Grace School of Ministry graduation and banquet. So that's on August 7th, and because we're going to have so many people in town that day, it's turning out to be a mini Skyfall, we're going to have to meet there Sunday morning because we won't have room here. So August 7th and 8th, we will be at the Marriott. But if you haven't registered and you want to be at the Deliverance Seminar, do that ASAP, and it's on the screen right there. Go to deanodal.org and hit the registration. Of course, if you are interested being in the Fire Grace School of Ministry, you need to get those applications in. August will be here before you know it. Tuition is optional. We don't require you to pay for it, so you can't beat that. But let me just say this. I think 36 students registered last time. And how many made it, Kelsey? 12. That's how many made it through the year. So it's not easy, but you can do it if you know first the Lord wants you to do it. And if you really, you're going to have to work hard. Register. I'm telling everybody, because we may not be on YouTube much longer because of censorship. So if you're out there watching on YouTube, which we have thousands that do every Sunday, you need to register at deanodal.org so that we live stream everything there and we archive everything there. So if YouTube cuts us off, we have our own YouTube, okay? So you can watch the live streams. You can watch all the services. Kelsey's put every video and every audio going back, some of them to 2009 when we started this church. So please do that. And then what's this governor site thing on here for? Oh, well, just if those of you out there in the state of Alabama that want to be at some of our meetings where I'm speaking during the campaign, go to the events page there and please be with us, because we're going to be all over the state. We're booked out now to September and October. So I've got a bunch of new ones to add to it as well. So radio interviews coming up. So just be in prayer for us, because it's getting busy. But had a great campaign meeting in up in Madison, Alabama on the 1st, and it was really great. So anyway, let's just let everybody know, if you're watching on YouTube right now, we're going to stay here for a little bit on YouTube, and then we're going to cut YouTube off, because I don't need any more strikes on this channel just yet. We're trying to get everybody moved over, and of course, I never know what I'm going to say, so the strikes could come at any moment, any time. It's just true. But anyway, I want you to get your Bibles out, and I want to turn to Psalm 37 this morning. And just as I was praying this morning, and really this particular verse that I'm going to focus in on, though we're going to read most of the psalm here, I think. Anyway, there's no notes this morning. I'm just going to have to, you can check me when you want to look up the Hebrew words. I didn't have time to send them to Kelsey and Jordan this morning to put up for you, but you can look them up for yourself. But Psalm 37, now I want to drop down before we read the entire thing, or at least the first part of it, I should say maybe half of it. I want to drop down to verse 12 and 13 here. And I want to get this, I'm hopefully going to get a principle that's going to sink in to your heart and mind, because it seems that most Christians are suffering from a bad case of, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, yeah, that's a good one. Spiritual blindness, but cognitive dissonance, that's it. Christians are. You hear me? And Jesus told us, you know, before we read this, just want to say this. Jesus told us in the parable of the 10 virgins that in the last days, just prior to his return, there would be the wise virgins and the foolish ones. And the foolish ones knew what they should have done, and they just weren't ready. Probably because they didn't listen to the wise ones. They didn't listen to the wise ones, and they didn't listen to the Lord, and they weren't ready. They didn't have their lamps full of oil. But now their oil had what? Their lamps had gone out, meaning they had had oil at one point, and they had the fire of the Holy Spirit at one point, and their lamps went out, and they were out of oil. That parable is not about the saved and the unsaved. It's about Christians. Y'all understand that? The 10 virgins were all born-again Christians who had the Holy Spirit, who had the fire of God in them, and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish let their oil, which is the Holy Spirit and who is the Spirit of truth, they let that just leak right on out of their lives in the last days, which we get the warnings of Scripture, take heed that no man deceive you, right? For many shall come in my name, Jesus said, and shall deceive many. So his warning, don't be deceived in these last days. Don't let anybody draw you away. But, of course, we got Christians that believe Christians can't be drawn away or can't fall away. And that's just nonsense. The 10 virgins bear this out explicitly, and the 5 foolish did not make it. And this is over. And what was it over? It was over that oil and that fire. And that oil and that fire is the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of, he is the Spirit of truth. And he's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. And he's going to speak to us and show us things to come. And we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by the flesh. So what they let leak out of their lives is just everything about listening, obeying, following the Holy Spirit, and staying in the truth of God's word and the truth of what's happening in the world. But here's the fact. Just let this sink in real quick. There's a bunch of Christians who are blind, ignorant, in sin, in deception. They're in the process of being deceived even further. They are conforming to the world when the Scripture says, do not conform to the world, but they do everything the world tells them to do. And then there are Christians who are breaking free from that and going, Holy Spirit, I want nothing to do with this world system. I know it's a beast system. It's an antichrist system. It's a devil system. I don't want anything to do with it. I want you. I want your word. I want your truth. I want your Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. And I'm willing to suffer and even lay down my life, if I have to not be part of this world system. I don't know where Christians got. I mean, there's a whole philosophy of ministry, y'all. It's called seeker sensitive. The whole philosophy of ministry is water it down so the world will like us. The other philosophy of ministry is tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. Right? There's only two ways to do this. Now, having said all that, look at these verses here. All right? Just want to get this real quick here. Psalm 37. And we're going to go down here to, what did I say? Yeah, 12 and 13. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword. They have bent their bow. They cast down the poor and needy and slay such as be of upright conversation. Of course, that word means behavior. But he says here, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bowels shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I want you to let a few things sink in. Number one, it talks about the wicked having riches, the wealthy. Okay? Now, again, there are Christians that have money. So it's not a sin to be wealthy. But we're going to find out, if you know anything about this world, that most of the wealthy people in this world are wicked. That's just the way it is. And they rule us, and they try to control us. And yes, according to this, they try to kill us. And if you don't believe that, just do a study on every time a government decided to enforce gun control. Every time they took guns from people, what followed? Genocide. Every single time. The wicked plots against the righteous. They plotteth, as the King James says. That means that they devise evil plans to do harm. Simple, right? Isn't that simple? But now, if you talk about, even among Christians, what the wicked are plotting to do, what they are doing and what they plan to do, you're a conspiracy theorist. Even among so-called Christians, you're a conspiracy theorist. Even if you use their words, even if you tell them, here's what the wicked are saying in their meetings, in their books, in their conferences, show them the video, and then YouTube takes your video down. The wicked plots, they plot, they scheme. Now think about this, and I'm going to prove this too. How much more do you think? Now this was written a long time ago. King David wrote this, 1000 BC. But think about now. If you know the scriptures and you know that we are in the last of the last of the last days, you think the wicked all of a sudden decided to quit plotting against the righteous? No, but I can tell you this much today. Go to your local megachurch and you will hear nothing about it. You will even hear mocking. You will hear it mocked. Oh, what are you talking about? The banksters? The rulers of this world? They're not plotting against anybody. That's why you can trust the CDC and the FDA and the CIA and the NSA. So you better get ready to start switching, because I'm using alphabet soup now. And it'll, that's right. Listen to me. Go ahead and switch us. So if you're watching now on YouTube, you better go to dnodal.org, because we're switching over. What's interesting, you know, you post anything about COVID, you post anything about vaccines, you post anything about, what does it say under there? Starts, especially on Facebook, gives you that little disclaimer down there. And then it starts saying, it tries to give you their information. It says, according to the World Health Organization. Oh, yeah. That's who's in charge, right? But see, I've been telling y'all for years, the Bible foretold a beast world government to have 7 heads and 10 horns, and the UN has been working to be that since its inception. It has been working to be a world government, and it will ultimately be a world government, and you're starting to see now its influence and power over you. If the WHO, the World Health Organization, says it, that's what you have to do and abide by, or you You get silenced. You get censored. Soon they will be sending people to your door. How many of you heard about Biden this week? He's going to be sending out teams to go to places where there's low vaccination rates. Better keep that Gestapo somewhere else. Don't come to Alabama with that nonsense. They plot. There is a plot. Now, I want to back up and read this again. Let's go back to Psalm 37 and start from verse 1. Now, everybody reads this. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." The word "fret" here, there's no the English connotation of this word is not even exist. If you think it's what the worry, or, you know, because that's kind of our word "fret," right? To worry and to be anxious. That's not what this word means. This word means, and it's actually two words together in the Hebrew, but basically it means don't let the wicked make you angry enough for you to become wicked. And you can look this up. Just trust me. Go look up your Hebrew. And just, some of you can pull up the Blue Letter Bible on your phones. Like I said, I didn't have time to send it. But it literally says the first part of the word means to make you angry. The next part of the word means to do sin or wickedness or evil. So don't let these wicked people make you so upset and so angry and so frustrated that you become a sinner, that you become wicked like them, or you let it eat you up. But it doesn't mean that we're not supposed to talk about it, or that we're not supposed to understand what they're plotting and what we're supposed to be fighting against and standing against and resisting. We're supposed to know. Christians are not supposed to be ignorant to what's going on. They're not supposed to be ignorant of the Bible, Bible prophecy, and they're not supposed to be ignorant to what's going on in the world. Or Satan's devices. Correct. All right, let's read this again. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his evil way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Everybody see that? Wicked devices. The man that brings wicked devices. That's the same idea that brings forth his wicked plots into practice. All right? And then he says this, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." So that verse even defines what the word, the Hebrew word for "fret not" means. It says, cease from anger and don't do evil. But be aware. You need to be aware of what's going on so you know what to resist and to not conform to. I want to keep reading. So we get back to the verses where we were. He says, "For evildoers," verse 9, "for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." And what did Jesus teach us? The meek shall ultimately inherit the earth. Now, let me say this. If you go to Psalm 92, it's an interesting thing. In Psalm 92, it says, when you see the wicked flourishing like the grass, you know, after a rain, it is that they will soon be cut off. But that doesn't mean there's not a season where the wicked flourish. You got to understand. And we are entering the season now where all we are going to see is the wicked flourishing like the grass after rain. But just know this. That means that they will soon be cut off. And who's going to cut them off? The Lord Jesus, when he returns, physically returns to this earth. He will judge the wicked. And this is why he keeps saying here, you need to trust the Lord. You need to commit your way to him. Don't let this bring you down. Don't let this bring you to evil. Some people, listen, get so angry and frustrated and full of just all this angst that they, you know, they got to start drinking and doing drugs again. because they just can't cope. You know, Solomon said this, the one who increases wisdom increases sorrow. It's not pleasant to find out that, you know, most of the world elite's trying to kill you. And that they have armies and they have vaccines and they have other poisons and they're spraying in the sky and they're doing all this stuff. They're destroying all our food supply with their GMO products. Everything they're doing is to lower the population of the world. And they told us that's what they're doing. And somebody say, it's not written in stone. Yes, it is. In Georgia. Reduce the population of the world to 500 million. Bill Gates said we're going to reduce the population of the world through new vaccines. That's what Bill Gates said. Who funds the World Health Organization? Bill Gates. The World Health Organization was busted years ago putting hormone in the tetanus shot and giving that out in the Philippines and Africa that was sterilizing women. It was causing women to have spontaneous abortions. They could not have children. This is a fact. This is a documented fact. In fact, this stuff is on NIH, believe it or not. You can find these studies and these stories at NIH. It's quite amazing. But see, I say that. They're trying to lower the population of the world through chemicals and vaccines and poisons and destroying our food and everything else and our air and our water. And people go, conspiracy theorist? Well, they told you. We found out. I mean, there's a whole branch of the Air Force, the chemtrail branch. They're proud. They got a patch and everything. Conspiracy theory. Most people don't know that term was created by the CIA to demonize people who would question the official story of the government concerning JFK. Long time ago. So now, guess what, though? So now it's not just government agents and FBI agents and the deep state that does this to people. Now it's Christians doing it to each other. They're like little parrots of the deep state. Get your vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's gene editing therapy. You want to know what's funny? It's the guy, Dr. Malone, who was a co-inventor of mRNA technology, was talking on a podcast about how dangerous the new vaccine is and what it's actually doing to you. The inventor of mRNA technology, and YouTube took him down. YouTube shut down the video. Somebody at YouTube must be an expert at mRNA technology, better than the guy who invented it. Let me tell you what we're living in. The novel 1984 is now. But there are Christians completely on the other side. This is why Jesus said, one of the things he said in Matthew 24, here's the sign. He said, many will betray one another and hate one another. Betray one another. They're trying to get you to rat people out now. Soon, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. This new variant that they have, the Delta variant, it's real because I just had it. And it's far worse than the other one because I had both. And hydroxychloroquine got me better in 5 days. So take that! But let me tell you right now, this next wave and the push for another vaccine or boosters and all this stuff they're going to do, but you watch. The governors are going to start to shut down the states again, especially when we get through the summer and the fall and the winter come. They're going to start the shutdowns again. And then this time, see, I don't believe this is the mark of the beast yet, but I can tell you it's part of it. Because they found out they can control you through fear and threats. You won't be able to go in this store. You won't be able to get on an airplane, or you won't be able to keep your job. Right? Promise you. See, remember, I want to tell you something. God gives me prophetic things sometimes. But all of us can have that. Didn't Jesus say the Holy Spirit would speak to us and show us things to come? In 2017 and 2018, the Holy Spirit told me 2020 would be a huge event that would cause things to change. He also told me that in 2022, there would be another event that would cause things to change dramatically. In the sermon where I first shared that in, God gave me two dates, 2020 and 2022, I 2 to 3 years out. In the sermon, I thought that 2020 was going to be some type of biological attack. I said that. I have it on video. The Holy Spirit was warning us. Here it comes. And now we found out, I saw Congressman Jim Jordan's testimony the other day. How many of you watched that? Oh, that's a wonderful, about 12 minutes, where he goes through the timeline. You know, Dr. Fauci's emails got exposed through a Freedom of Information Act request, 3,000 of them. I've been going through them myself. But Congressman Jim Jordan did a much more thorough investigation. Congressman Jordan showed real plainly Fauci was behind the gain-of-function research to create the coronavirus. He encouraged it. His organization funded it. This came out in Newsweek magazine. Y'all got to understand something. Fauci is deep state. He's one of these wicked elitists that's been plotting against you for years. He's a Jesuit, and we know the Vatican and the Jesuits plot against. The Vatican and the Jesuits are in with all of these people. But again, you're a conspiracy theorist if you talk about this, even though it's all right there in front of you. Fauci knew in March of 2020 from very, very highly educated doctors that hydroxychloroquine would stop the SARS-CoV-2 virus. He knew it in March. Then he goes on TV and says he knew it came. He knew, and very, very powerful doctors, Congressman Jordan stuff goes through how they covered up very, scientists, just very well-respected scientists and doctors sent to Fauci and said, we've looked at this virus. It's manufactured. It's engineered. It's not from nature. Right? He has an emergency conference call with some people. They concoct the story about it coming from a bat, and he goes on television standing next to President Trump telling all of you it came from a bat. This is natural, when he knew. And then when when Trump mentions hydroxychloroquine, because he got it from Dr. Didier Raoud and Dr. Todorow and all these other doctors that are Harvard, Yale, Columbia doctors, Dr. Harvey Reich, he got all this truth about it. So Trump puts it out there because Trump wants to save some people's lives. And Fauci gets up there and goes, it's anecdotal, and plays it down. No, it's not. And you saw that war going on. What you saw was a leader trying to help you, and the deep state elitists who have been plotting against you trying to keep their plot working. Let me read it again, just in case you missed it. Psalm 37 again. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword. Huh, the sword. What does the sword do? Something that punctures your skin. The wicked have drawn out the sword. They have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. I think about those who ultimately take the mark of the beast, how they're going to break out in boils. Their own plan's going to backfire upon them. But let me tell you what's going to be the mark of the beast. What's going to be the mark of the beast is this vaccine one part. We're about to have vaccine part two, boosters. But then I just read in Forbes magazine, I just read in Bloomberg, not conservative organizations, but Forbes and Bloomberg just said, we're going to require vaccine passports. And they were talking about in the articles that I just read that people are faking the cards. There's even templates for them, and people are just counterfeiting these cards everywhere. So they're going to have to implant something in your hand that can be scanned to prove that you've been vaccinated. And once they mandate that, let me just go and tell you, I don't care if you like it or not, or you agree with me or not. I'm telling you, the moment they say you will not be able to go into a store, buy or sell unless you have your identification that you've been vaccinated, that's the mark of the beast. You've been warned. And right now, I listened to the TED Talk. I can't remember the woman's name. I'm going to play it at some point, but not today. But the TED Talk of the woman who is also the co-inventor of the mRNA technology. So it was a man and a woman that created it, the Case CRISPR-9 gene editing technology. She did a TED Talk about it in 2015. And in the TED Talk, she said that mRNA technology is to edit your DNA. This is what she said. And she said we can create in babies, designer babies. We can create enhanced human beings, super soldiers. She said, and we need to set up a board of doctors to discuss the ethics of this, how we're going to handle all this. And she said it will be used to deal with viruses in 2015. And she said, in the same sentence she said it's going to be used to deal with viruses, she said it is DNA editing technology. She said we can do whatever we want. We can edit your genes and tell them to do whatever we want them to do. These are facts. These are not my opinions. These are what the people are saying about the technology and about the plant. Now, they don't tell you everything, do they? They don't tell you about, what is it called? What's the stuff called? Enhancement. The one that, the overload. Basically, it's the autoimmune enhancement or something. It's something called that. But anyway, basically that this sets you up for if you encounter another version of it, your immune system, especially if you've had the vaccine, will overreact to it. So there's all kinds of things going on. We won't know really the truth about all this for another year or two, which will take us probably into 2022 and 2023. But the wicked plotteth against it. Now I want you to go to Psalm 2. We're going to study the Bible a little bit this morning. Hey, can y'all pull up just the basic definition of cognitive dissonance? I want you to put that up here on the screen, please. This is a psychological term. That many in the world and many Christians are suffering from. Y'all let me know when you have it. But let's go to Psalm 2. We're going to read starting at verse 1. Now, Psalm 2, can I just put it to you as we read this, is in an end-time context. You'll say, how do you know that? Well, I'll show you. He says there, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, this his anointed here is a reference to Jesus, the Messiah, but it's also a reference to his church. We are also the anointed body of Christ, right? Anointed by the Holy Spirit. So he says, the kings of the earth, the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing, or as it says in the Amplified Bible, they imagine a vain plot. And the kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, when rulers and kings get together to be against someone and a group of people, what is that? That's a conspiracy. Now, a conspiracy theory is something that has no basis in fact or reality, like there's pink elephants flying out there, right? Or theoretical astrophysics, right? Theoretical. But when you have facts to back it up, it no longer becomes a theory. So when you have actual quotes of kings and rulers and the wealthy elite and their plot, and they're saying it, and then you watch them not just say it, but start implementing it, start doing it. What is that? That's a conspiracy. And that conspiracy and that plot is against you and me. And anyone, the poor and the needy, that's not like them. Well, that's why Kissinger, a New World Order politician, states, Henry Kissinger said, we're going to get rid of the useless eaters. That's what they think of us. Prince Philip, right? He said many years ago, if he could die and come back as anything he wanted, he would die and come back as a deadly virus so he could remove the world of all these useless eaters. You have to understand something. The world elite look at you as nothing but something devouring the resources, their resources, and the resources they want for their posterity. You don't count. And it has nothing to do with color. They try to make us think of it. No. It's either you're loyal to Satan and his plan, or you're not. And if you're loyal, hey, if you will bow the knee, how many of you have received solicitations from the Illuminati? I have. We'll offer you money. We'll give you $1 million, $500,000. Join the Illuminati and help forward our plan, and your bank account will be full. No, thank you. I will not bow my knee to the God of money or to you Luciferians, to the devil. No, no, no. I serve Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've already picked my side. Have you picked your side? Oh, well, Pastor Dean, I follow Jesus. But then you do everything the world tells you to do. Who's your Lord? Your Lord's who you obey. It's that simple. Who do you obey? Who do you follow? Let's keep reading Psalm 2. He says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, what is he saying? We don't want any of their influence, control, rules, laws, morality. We don't want any of that. We don't want anything that has to do with the Lord and his anointed. We don't like the fact that they're against homosexuality or transgenderism or you name it. Socialism, communism, Islam. No, we don't want any of their bans, any of their moral code. The world hates. The world system out there, the UN, most of the United States government, most all the governments in the world hate true Christians. With a passion. But isn't that what Jesus said? The world will hate you. It will love its own. So if the world loves you, what are you? No, they should hate you. But notice what it says. The same thing we just read a minute ago in Psalm 37. It says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That means mocking laughter. You don't want the Lord laughing at you in a mocking tone. Like, oh yeah, we're going to deal with you real soon. Then it says this, look at verse 5. Then, that means, the word then means sometime after this. He's going to go from laughing to speaking. And we know what happens when God speaks. Things start happening. He says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now, what is that about? That's the day of his wrath. That's the end time judgments that are going to come down upon this wicked world. First he laughs, then he speaks, then he vexes. Their day is coming. And he says this, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. That is Jesus, of course, the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee for thine inheritance the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them to pieces like the potter's vessel. This talking about the son coming to dash them with the rod of iron is the second coming of Jesus Christ, the judgment of God. So this psalm is the context of Jesus coming to judge the nations with a rod of iron when he comes, when he returns. So this psalm is a end time psalm. And he just got through telling you the kings of the earth and the rulers are conspiring against the Lord and against his anointed. Do you have that cognitive dissonance? Let's read the definition of cognitive dissonance. Are you suffering from the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and an attitude change? That's not the one I want. I want the psychiatrist guy who defined it. The psychologist who actually coined the term. That's true in a sense, but that's so simplified. I can't remember. Just see if we can find. Just type that in and look up, say, psychiatrist, psychologist, doctor that defined it. It'll come up. Anyway, let's keep going. He says, verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. Now, this is what he says. Remember we started this little conversation off about the wise and the foolish virgins? He says here, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. So he's saying we need wisdom. And he says this, serve the Lord. And we know the Lord, he said the word, the name here, Yahweh, but Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is God in the flesh. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. He's telling you, you better love the Son. You better kiss the Son. Think about this is Old Testament. Can you imagine the Pharisees? They didn't understand this at all. But he's talking about be wise. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. This is talking about having the fear of the Lord because you know the day of judgment will come. Everybody see this? The wicked are plotting against the just. Now let's go to Revelation 13. We're going to look at Revelation 13 and 17. You got it? Let me see. Is his name Frank? I think it's let's see here. Ah, yeah. This is it. I'll just read it to you. This is, what's this from? I just took Jason's phone from, was that? Dictionary.com. All right, cognitive dissonance, anxiety that results from simultaneously holding contradictory or otherwise incompatible attitudes, beliefs, or the like, as when one likes a person but disapproves strongly of one of his or her habits. So saying cognitive dissonance is when basically basically what the Bible talks about being what? Double-minded, of two minds, but really a better definition, it talks about that anxiety. It's kind of like, let's say you have a belief that, you know, roses are really green. You've been deceived by some wolves in sheep's clothing. They've convinced you that roses are green, and we have Christians like that. And someone, in all your life, you have heard roses are green, and they even sprayed some green and brought them to you, and they've just ingrained it into you that roses are green, and then some crazy preacher in Alabama comes up and says, no, they're really red. Immediately, you're going to have what's called cognitive dissonance, and then I'm going to show you a red rose, and then I'm going to show you where the wicked plotted to turn those roses green, and show you where I even got pictures and videos of them spray painting them green to bring to your house. But in your head, because you have been brainwashed for so many years that they're green, you're going to have anxiety because something is confronting your belief system. Yes, biblical creation, flat earth, that the government might actually have lied about something. I don't understand it. Why that's a problem. They lie all the time. You know, my definition of a conspiracy theorist is this. My definition of a conspiracy theory is someone who refuses to believe known liars. Sorry, I just don't believe the official story. And if you still think, that two planes knocked down three skyscrapers, you are still deceived. This is the way it is. First of all, never in the history of the world has any plane that hit a skyscraper knocked one down. But then we had two buildings allegedly hit by planes. And a third one, a 40-story skyscraper called Building 7, was not touched by a plane, and yet it went down at free fall. And even the firefighters who were there said, we heard it, pop, 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 pop. We heard the controlled demolition. But we still have people that believe that 19 terrorists flew two planes into two buildings but knocked down three and burn up everything, and yet their IDs were laying untouched on the street in New York. But see, cognitive dissonance, because all you've heard for years and years and years, this is what happened at 9/11. Yet 3,000 structural engineers go, what happened was impossible. 3,000 structural engineers are on record saying that it was impossible. The official story is not true. Yeah, and the buildings were designed to take plane hits, which Trump said on television the day it happened. He said, I can't see how this is even possible. These buildings are built to withstand this. So Bush knew and was involved. And we know that. But see, again, it's a conspiracy theory. But see, even now, some of you are probably having cognitive dissonance. That's why I did that. Because you've listened to CNN and MSNBC and even Fox News for years. I remember Jesse Ventura went on Fox News one time and just questioned the official story of 9/11, and they had a meltdown on Fox News. That's called cognitive dissonance. Except the media was in on it too. You know, the BBC reporter, remember her, that was talking about Building 7 going down before it went down? They make so many mistakes. It's just unbelievable. But you know what? They make these mistakes, and you can point these things out. And people go, no. The two planes that didn't hit a building knocked that building down. The biggest thing all you got to do with somebody is just fry their brain. Was Building 7? Tell me about Building 7. See, nobody knows. Yeah. Yeah, the 9/11 information is so... it's so out there. But again, I've been called a conspiracy theory because I simply question that the government might be lying to me. I'm sorry. Gulf of Tonka, Tuskegee syphilis experiment. I mean, can we go down the list? We had no reason to go to Iraq in 2003 or Afghanistan. Think about the lives lost, destroyed, limbs blown off. Yeah, exactly. I could spend all day on 9/11. Yeah. Cognitive dissonance, though. Anxiety. If anxiety comes in you when presented with facts that don't go along with your long-standing belief system. But this happens all the time. I do this to people all the time. Oh, Gary knows. He started listening to us a while back, and he was a pre-tribulation rapture guy. And when I started talking about that, he had a real cognitive dissonance time there. But you know what? What's beautiful is all of us at some point suffered from it in different degrees. And if we keep crying out to the Lord to lead us and guide us into all truth, then the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth. I remember for years just crying out, God, I want to know the truth about everything. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be lied to. And boy, he has continued over the last 34 years to continually blow my mind. I remember when the Lord told me about the true biblical nature of creation. 2 months before he fully opened my eyes, he told me, he said, he spoke to me one day. He said, son, I got something else to show you, and it's big. And I thought to myself, what else could there be? I pretty much know, Lord, about almost everything going on in this world. What else could it be? You mean they actually plotted to lie to us? Yeah. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy. I know I told you Revelation. Hold your finger on it. I want to read this right here. Revelation 13. We're going to come back to it. Because it's only 12. You know, if I let y'all at 12, they'll think we're Baptists. So we can't do that. Got to be Pentecostal. Have to stay after 12. That's a rule somewhere. I read it. Some manual somewhere. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This verse right here. Actually, we'll back up and we'll read verse 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. He says here, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I got to stop right there for a second. This is an end-time prophecy, too, because if you back up to verse 1, he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times. Dangerous. Very dangerous. What is he talking about? What does perilous mean? It means dangerous to your life. Dangerous to your faith. Dangerous to your walk with God. Will you endure to the end? Will you make it? He says, perilous times will come. And then he says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He didn't say it's going to get better and better. Evil men. What is an evil man? That plot to do bad things and then do them. Bill Gates is one of the most evil men in the world. He's killed people with his vaccines in the world, started polio outbreaks with his vaccines, crippled children, tested vaccines. I want to tell you something. You want to tell you what group of people should be angry at Bill Gates? It's black folks. And I say that because not all black folks are African Americans. Because I know some true Africans from Liberia and Nigeria and Kenya. Because they've used Africa, Bill Gates, as his own little test tube lab, just guinea pig lab. It is criminal what he's. That man should be, he should be tried and he should be shot by firing squad because he is one of the most evil men that's ever existed. The Bush family, the Obamas, the Clintons. It doesn't matter. I just named Republicans and Democrats. You know why? Because it's not about Republican and Democrat. It's about those who have bowed their knee to the satanic, evil, beast world system and who are serving it, and those who say, no, I'm not going to serve it. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ, and I'm going to walk in the truth, and I'm not going to conform to their world. Not going to do it. And this word, evil men and seducers. Seducers in the Greek is the Greek word goes. You know what it means? Imposters. It says imposters in the Strong's Greek dictionary. It says imposters, those who assume an identity in order to deceive. Wizards who mutter spells. So they tell you, they're going to be imposters.
Yes, I'm the top doctor in the world. My name is Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Oh, by the way, you're not the top doctor in the world. I'm here to help you. Remember what Reagan said about that, huh? The scariest words, phrase you'll ever hear. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. It's true. There's very few in the government that are good. There's good people in there. But there's very few. Every government institution, from NASA to the NIH to the CDC to the FDA, all of them, the CIA, the FBI, they have good people in them. but few. They are infiltrated. They are controlled by this group of people that have been plotting against you. And this is just fact. And this plot, according to Congressman Larry McDonald of Georgia, he said this plot is generations old in planning and evil in intent. He told us it was the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. I have the book where he told us. And they shot down a plane and killed over 200 people in a commercial aircraft just to kill Larry McDonald. Because he was exposing the New World Order plan. He was exposing the communist New World Order agenda. He was exposing the players. I saw him do it on CNN Crossfire in the 1980s. And then he's dead. He would have been president of the United States. But they killed him. Because evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, what is the ultimate plan? Let's go to it. Revelation 13. Say, Pastor Dean, you talk about this all the time. Yep. The Lord told me in 2008, he said, son, you do not want to be a preacher who lived in the last days and didn't preach on it. And he told me that like, you understand what I'm saying. And I said, yes, sir. I don't know about you, but the Lord talks to me sweet sometimes, and he talks to me stern sometimes. If you only hear sweet, better check yourself. Let's read this. Revelation 13. I stood upon sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet is the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, who is Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Most of the church world has mistaken this for a man, but no man has 7 heads and gets one wounded. Unless y'all living in some kind of freak show I don't know about. No, this is this right here. These beasts are referenced in Daniel 7 as nations that will arise in the last days, the bear and the leopard, the lion. And he says these beasts would arise in the last days, Daniel 7. These are 4 kingdoms that shall come. The 4th beast in Daniel 7 had 10 horns. What this is those beasts that are nations in Daniel 7 in the end uniting together into one beast. What is that? United Nations. It's simple. God made this stuff simple to interpret. This beast, and it did have one of its heads wounded to death, Germany, and then it was brought back. We'll deal with that later. But here we go. Now, this is very important. Verse 4 here. And they worshiped the dragon, these nations. These rulers, remember we've just been reading about these rulers and these captains and these kings. He said, and they worshiped Satan. Conspiracy theory? You mean to tell me that these leaders, a lot of them are Luciferian, Satan, devil-worshipping individuals? Yes. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible tells me so. And they admit it. Tony Blair used to say, I loved going to the groves all over England and the Bohemian Grove in California to worship Molech. Tony Blair, Prime Minister of England way back. We've got pictures of them, all these leaders. I mean, the Bush family at the Bohemian Grove, exactly. Now, most of these and then it came out, you know, it came out in WikiLeaks, when those emails got hacked, that Tony Podesta, what's the other one? The brother, John Podesta, chief of staff for Obama, working for Hillary, Hillary's campaign manager, that they love going off with, what's her name, Abramovich, Marina Abramovich, a witch, a Satanist, into all kind of blood rituals and demonic stuff. And they go to her house and have these little rituals and parties where they cut their fingers and drink all kind of things that I won't speak about because children are in here. Spirit cooking, yeah. They made all this. These are the elite leaders. We know they're connected to child trafficking. You can trace this back to the Bush family in the late 80s. Anybody look up the Franklin scandal? Been well documented. People went to prison. Yeah, no more kids on milk cartons. And yet 500,000 children go missing every year. Where are they going? They're being sacrificed and they're being trafficked. How do I know that? Well, now, I'm not going there yet. How do I know that? How do I know that? Joel chapter 3 says in the last days there that a boy would be sold as a harlot and a girl would be sold for wine. And but everybody goes, oh, Christians, you're all crazy believing this stuff. No, it's real. Now, let's keep going. What do they want to do? Let's go down. Keep reading here. Well, we'll start at verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, Satan, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him, this is when the Antichrist himself, the man, steps forward. He will be the one that will be their mouthpiece soon. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. And this is the unpleasant passage here. It was given unto him, this Antichrist and this beast system, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, like a lamb, like a lamb, the sign of Christianity, the symbol of Jesus, like a lamb, but he's not the lamb. But he's like a lamb, but he speaks as a dragon. We know, I believe, that whoever the last pope is will be this false prophet, this other beast that comes up out of the earth with two horns like a lamb. It says he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and the Vatican is very powerful. And he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, I believe this is artificial intelligence. But he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So AI will continue to increase to the point it will gain control over everything. But verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in, King James always had it right, in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666, or 666. Now, I've shown you where 666 is all over this vaccine issue. Not going to repeat that today. But hear what I'm saying. This is the plot. This is the plot. To get you to the point you submit to this system. In the last days, will you submit? Here's what happens if you do. Let's go to Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Wait a minute, I thought the saints were supposed to be out of here. No. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now this is, I can't express to you how important this is to understand this. Some people say, well, will Christians be deceived? Will some be deceived and take the mark? Absolutely, they're going to. Because I believe in free will. I know that there's Calvinists like Carl. Love you, Carl. But you're wrong. And you believe that human beings don't have free will. No, God gave us free will. Whosoever will. Right? God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. That's God's desire. Does God's will always happen? No, why? Because he's given mankind free will. Why does evil exist? Because mankind has free will to choose good or evil. It's not hard, y'all. We have a free will. And guess what? When you become a born-again Christian, you don't lose your free will. You choose to follow, obey, or you choose to disobey and reject. You choose to submit. A Christian, I ask people all the time, can a Christian sin? Yeah. Can a Christian take the mark of the beast? Yeah. Let me tell you one of the biggest deceptions I've ever heard. What's his name? MacArthur. John MacArthur. Got him on radio interview saying Christians could take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. Literally said that. How many people follow that man? Because he's on TV. Exactly. He also made a statement that there's no power in the blood of Jesus. I think he's a Freemason. I think he's one of those imposters. Everything he teaches is the opposite of what the scripture says. But think about it. A man comes up and tells you, you could take the mark of the beast because you're a Christian and still go to heaven. And this book says, whosoever. Whosoever. Let's read again. Whosoever. Let's look at verse 9. If any man. When he said if any man, would that mean include Christians? If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead and his hand. What's the clue we have about this mark of the beast? We have that 666 will somehow be involved in it. We have that it will restrict you from buying and selling, and that it will be in you. That's your three clues. I've had Christians tell me, well, God won't let Christians be deceived in this. No, he's already told you what to look for. And if you don't listen to this book, what's written, and let the Holy Spirit lead you and have some sense, you will be deceived and you will take it. I promise you, as I said this before, they will be lining up at churches all across America to get the mark of the beast when it comes. And if you see, and I often wondered, I said, how is it that they're going to get other Christians to so hate fellow Christians to the point they will betray them even to death? I've always wondered how they would do it. But, you know, 34 years I've been wondering this. Now it makes sense. You won't get the vaccine, brother. You're going to kill the rest of us. And yet, look, there was a thing. I could put it up right now. I have it in my phone. CBS 42, local station here in Alabama. WSFA, another local station here in Alabama. CBS station. Oh, the variants here. The unvaccinated are going to kill us all. The WSFA, on the same day, headline, said, Delta variant showing up in Alabama in the vaccinated. But go get your vaccine. I'm not joking. The propaganda never ends. Every now and then, they'll speak a little truth. But here's what I'm saying. They're going to pump this thing up over the next few months, and we're going to enter into 2022. I can assure you this. I don't doubt. Now, this right here is not a prophetic word. This is just my guess. But by mid-2022 or the end of 2022, I believe they're going to be mandating your vaccines, boosters, new vaccine to fight the variants. And then if you don't, you're not going to be able to just have a card as a vaccine to show that you've been vaccinated so you can get into the grocery store or get buy gas or whatever. They're going to say, no, too many people are faking those documents, so you're going to have a chip implanted or you won't be able to buy or sell. Mark it down. It may take them a little longer to implement it than 2022, but I'm telling you, the talk is already here. They're already talking about it. And we have Biden and Kamala. Yeah. We have some evil people. And it's going to come down to, it really will come down to, what the governor of your state decides to do. Yeah. So, folks, we need to be praying like we've never prayed before. We got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Anything that tells me you're going to put something in my body, and if I say no, I can't buy or sell. And 666 is splashed all over it like the patents for these things. I think I'm going to say no. I think I'm just going to take, you know, go ahead and sign me up for one of those guillotine trips. But I'm telling you, I'm saying no. And I think about the verse. Let's go with one more. Everybody ought to know this one, but I hope it makes more sense now. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This ought to make sense now. Somebody, and another reason I felt like I got an email this week from a very sincere person who's been watching us for a very long time, and they're sincerely asking the question, is this current COVID vaccine right now the mark of the beast? I said, no, it's not. But it is going to be part of it. You understand the difference? It is the mechanism, the fear, the lies, the intimidation is the mechanism to push us into it. Okay? He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is it? Your bodies. So they're not putting any more poison in me. No more thimerosal, mercury, no more formaldehyde, no more aluminum. And no, you don't get to edit my DNA or my cells or anything else to make them create coronavirus spike proteins. Not going to have it. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not putting this crap in me. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, which means holy means pure, sanctified, set apart. Set apart from what? The world. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Conformed. You look that up in the Greek. It means don't let the world push you into their image. Don't let them force you into their mold. They want to mold you. They want to shape you. And how do they do that? He gives you the hint in the next part. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, meaning that they manipulate your minds. Fear is the most powerful manipulation tool that exists. And I'm blown away by how many people. I mean, it's like we've entered high school again and nobody can stand up to the peer pressure. We're not in high school anymore.
I don't want to be in the cool crowd. Because that's the one Jesus is coming to whip with a rod of iron. I don't want to be in that crowd. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let me tell you, it's a war. There was a war for our minds, for our thought processes. Because if the devil knows that if he can control your mind, if he can get into you the fear and their propaganda, if he can get that into you, you will conform. We need a bumper sticker. I will not conform. I will not conform. I will not submit. I will not bow. I will not be subdued. Are we facing anything different than the days of Nebuchadnezzar when he made his statue? And the Hebrew children said, "We will not bow, O king." We are there. And you say, "Well, Pastor Dean, what if I've bowed a little bit already?" Get up off that knee. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I'm done bowing. I'm done submitting. I'm done conforming. I'm done giving in to this system." I promise you, you say, "Pastor Dean, why do you preach like this?" Because I will not stand before God on judgment day and give an account for you or have your blood on my hands. I will not do it. I will be able to say, "Lord, I told them and I told them and I told them and I told them." Get yourself, your family, ready to not bow. You hear me? Yeah, I like that meme. Jesus was called a harmful extremist too. Oh yeah, now Facebook's putting the warnings. You may be exposed to extremist content. Do you know, though, before the censorship really started, people would send me screenshots. They would be going to my Dino Ministries Facebook page, and they would get warnings. You may not want to go to this page. You may be exposed to dangerous content. But you know what? The sad thing about that is there's a lot of Christians that agree with them. But I got three words for them. I don't care. The truth is the truth. The truth will set you free. Jesus is trying to warn us. Through this book, he's given us the hints. He's given us the clues. He's given us the direct commandments. He's given us the book of Revelation. He's given us Matthew 24. He's given us what we know, what we need to know. So, will you conform? Look, Satan and the demons and the people of this world, they don't care. They want you to be a drug addict. They want you to be sexually addicted. I mean, look what they're doing to the kids. They're trying to sexualize our kids in kindergarten and first and second grade. They're trying to make them little perverts. This is what the world does. My child would never set foot in a public school, especially now. Because they are turning them into all kinds of things. But what's the whole reason? Conform them. We're gonna mold these little children into sexually perverted little government socialists. Yeah, little brown shirts to attack. Be not conformed. You want to talk about a message the church needs to get right now? Be not conformed to this world. Oh, Lord God, help us. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Well, let's do one song before we go downstairs to eat. Let me say this. You're welcome. You're welcome, little man. Xavier's getting it. It's sinking in. He's getting it. Look, here's the truth. The only way your sins can be forgiven is you must believe that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died on the cross for your sins, that he rose from the dead on the third day,
And you got to ask him to come in and be Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sins with the full intention on repenting and becoming a disciple of Jesus. That's all you got to do. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to take that first step, but it's the next step and the next step and the next step. Will you follow? Will you obey? Will you love him more than anything in this world? Say, Pastor Dean, you said that last Sunday. Yep, you know why? Thousands of people, thousands. Over 5,000 people have already watched last week. It's been a week. Thousands of people watch. And let me tell you, not all of them are saved yet. But God loves you, and he loves you enough to give you the truth. If you've just stumbled on this service this morning, God led you here for this one reason. Give your life to Jesus. Let him wash your sins away. Turn from this world system that's so evil, and let him change your life. He changed my life. You know, I start this whole service out talking about the testimonies we have in here. He can change your life. He changed my life. He can change your life. But you have to let him. You have to ask him. You have to want it. And if you want it, you want to be free from drugs, you can be free from drugs. You want to be free from alcohol addiction, you can be free. You want to be free from sexual addiction and pornography, you can be free. You want to be free? You can be. But you got to come to the only one that can help you. And that's Jesus. Not me. Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can help you. So let's do that. I'm going to do simple gospel again. Because that's what you need. The simple gospel is that through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, through faith in what he did on the cross, through faith in his resurrection, through faith in his word, that this is his word right here, the truth, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe that and you call upon him and you are determined to follow him and to know him, you will be saved. Amen? Let's sing it one more time.
Like I know a friend, I wanna know you, Lord. I wanna know you, Lord. Like I know a friend, I wanna know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion.
Praise him. We rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in your cross. We rejoice in your resurrection. We rejoice in the truth of your scripture. We rejoice that you've given us your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, we thank you for the warnings we have in scripture about the last days. We thank you, God, you've warned us about the plots of the wicked. You've warned us about the mark of the beast. You've warned us about deception in the last days. You've been very specific. Your people are warned, and woe be to the pastors that have not warned them. Lord, today we ask you to move in a mighty way. Let truth sweep this nation. Let there be a revival and awakening to the truth of your word and the truth of where we are in this end time sequence here, Lord, because we're in it. And Lord, we pray that many, many, many will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And they'll make themselves ready and they'll stop conforming to this evil world system. And Lord, I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, listen, of course, you know, we're eating downstairs together. Where is it? Everybody goes and gets their stuff again today. We're not today. So people brought food today. That's right. I forgot about that. All right. So there's no having to go anywhere. So there's food down. So we're going to go downstairs. I guess what? Let's just do this. We'll say the blessing, and then we'll go down there. Lord, thank you for Kelsey and her birthday. And Lord, we thank you for her, the blessing she's been to our church and school of ministry. And Lord, we just pray you bless her. And Lord, we thank you for her mom being able to visit. We bless her and pray for her protection as she travels back to Pennsylvania. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus over this food. And we ask you, Lord, to bless it and sanctify it. And we do thank you for it, and we thank you that we have this time to fellowship and celebrate Kelsey's birthday. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And happy 4th of July, everybody. See you next week.